In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last weekend was my 50th high school reunion. I don't know how that's possible, but it was. It happened. I am still trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up, just as I remember thinking about those things when I was there. Over the course of the weekend, I went to visit an old friend who I had lost contact with in recent years. He used to be with the school, and he was in a nursing home. We had a nice visit, and I asked him about his children, and his older son is sort of this overachiever guy that has an important job at UVA, and his younger son, I think, has had struggles just sort of figuring out what to do with life, certainly something I can identify with, and then he said he died 2 months ago while taking care of me, and my heart just sort of crashed. There was something so poignant and powerful and just heartrending in the way he said it. And when I sort of found something, words again, I said, do you think you'll ever see him again? And he said, I don't know. I hope so. After a few more minutes and I was getting ready to leave, this memory came to me, and I sat back down and said, the night my son died, I called my sister when I finally got home. It was about midnight, and told her. She was in New England. She was very close to my son, Philip, and she said after hearing the news, she couldn't sleep. She was just tossing and turning and in real distress, as you can imagine, and for a couple hours. And she said, and then this image of him came to mind. It wasn't a vision, it was just a thought, but a peculiar kind of a quality to this thought. And she saw him in her mind's eye, sort of standing there the way teenage boys do, kind of smirking like this. You've seen that before, I take it. His mop of curly hair with a grin, and he said to her, tell my dad that I'm okay. And then she went to sleep. It just settled her mind down instantly. There was something powerful and real in that thought. And I believe that it was real to this day, that it was some sort of real encounter with a real person. The point I'm trying to make is that I think the resurrection is real, is absolutely real, that it happened in Jesus' life and it happens with people that we know and love. I'm not sure what death is, but I don't think it's the end. I don't think it's the end of anything, really. I'm not sure where they are, what kind of state they're in, but I believe that they're there. Later on, most recently this week, I was reading in a book called The Cosmic Code. It's about quantum physics. Please don't ask me why I'm reading this or even to explain it, but I ran across this little phrase, this little passage. Imagine an ordinary particle sitting inside a barrier, like a marble in an empty cup. If there is no force applied to the marble, it cannot escape from that cup. It's trapped. But in quantum theory, we must describe that particle by a probability wave inside the cup. Again, don't ask me to explain that. And the intensity of that wave gives us the probability of finding the particle. So suppose the particle is an electron. For the electron wave an electron. Remarkably, if you solve Schrödinger's wave equation for the electronic wave shape inside a barrier, its solution has a little bit of wave leaking outside. That's a mouthful that I can't explain, but what he's saying is that if you contain something like an electron in a space and put a barrier around it, occasionally that electron is going to escape, and they do not know why. This implies that the electron has a certain probability of appearing outside the barrier, like stepping through a wall. This is called quantum tunneling through a barrier. We cannot visualize this at what happens in our ordinary realm, but this is what they're saying is the truth about physical reality. And it just reminds me of the sermon that Andrew gave last week, where Jesus appeared in the upper room and revealed himself to Thomas. And I just have this feeling that in the story of Jesus, he's showing us a reality that is absolutely real. And we're going to misconstrue it, just as the early disciples misconstrued and didn't recognize him. But that the real reality might be wherever Jesus is now, wherever the dead are now. And they can come and go through this reality that feels solid to us, almost like it's sort of a holographic projection. That something, the real solid, real solidity is spiritual, not physical. And that we will wake up from this reality into whatever awaits us. And this will appear very much like a dream to us. And we are entering and heading towards something much more solid and much more real. I think that that's what Jesus' resurrection hints at. Do you believe in that resurrection? Do you believe that Jesus really physically rose from the grave, appeared to his disciples and said, "Here, touch me. See this, I'm physical. I'm not a ghost. Give me something to eat. Ghosts don't eat." That is sort of the central core claim of Christianity. And it is a game changer that boggles the mind. I have to say, I wrestle with, did that really happen sometimes? Like my friend, I hope so. I believe so, but I'm not always sure. If you find yourself in those periods of doubt or questioning, all I can say is ask. Talk to God about it and ask him, just simply to make himself known. All right, that's not really what I was going to preach about. This sermon just about killed me. It didn't sort of come together until last night after I can't tell you how many hours of sort of trying to wring something out of the scripture. I love this passage. I truly do, but for some reason I've been had a hard time sort of pulling a sermon out of it. But here goes. These disciples are walking on the road after going through one of the most difficult, crushing, awful experiences in their life. After having given up 3 years of walking with Jesus, believing that he was the Messiah, believing that it would turn out in a certain way, that he would set the people of Israel free and restore the kingdom of God to this earth, and that Jesus was the person to do it, and he was going to do it when he went into Jerusalem. And instead, he was betrayed by the leaders of the nation, suffered a terrible execution, and was gone. And they were lost. They were lost. They were crushed. Their whole hopes had been fallen in ashes, and they could not make sense out of it. And all of a sudden, this man walks up beside them and starts talking to them and begins to open up the scriptures to them, and their hearts start to burn with the vision that he presents to them, with the language, the vision that he shows them of how this was supposed to happen in the scriptures. And when Jesus finally revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread, and then he vanishes in front of their eyes, they turn to each other and say, "Didn't our hearts burn when he was walking with us in the way and speaking to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us?" So here's my question. What makes your heart burn? What catches you on fire? What ideas captivate you that are bigger than you are? What pulls you out of yourself and makes you want to change the world in this little piece? I've asked myself that question because I didn't have a clear, ready answer, and I suspect many of us don't. But if you look at your life, you will find probably a theme that runs through it, something that matters to you, something that you return to over and over again. For me, what makes my heart burn with desire is for the church. Not this church in particular, but for the church as a whole. To be a place where I would call it radical grace is encountered. Grace means forgiveness and love. It means truth and love meet together. It's a place where my fallenness can find a place to rest and not have to be covered up, where I don't get rejected when people see what I'm really like on the inside and I have to go somewhere else. It's a place where people can come together and ask honest questions about who God is in their life and have real conversations about that. It's a place where my fallenness, which eventually and inevitably is going to surface, experiences love and gets healed. It's a place where we can live authentic lives together, where we wrestle with how to balance what we ought to do with what we can do or want to do. It's a place where we can, when we find we endure loss, we can find comfort in people to pick us up when we can't pick ourselves up. It's a place where we wash each other's feet. It's a place also where joy happens, where hospitality sort of springs up naturally, where there's generosity of spirit, where there's creativity, where there's that sense of encouragement that people find courage to do things that they've never quite been able to do because they know that they have people around them who have their back for them, whether they fail or not, whether it turns into a disaster or not. It's a place where people have fun together, throw parties, have a foolishness committee, where there's food, music, creativity, and deep conversation. It's a place where life happens, just simple life happens. And it's good. Even when it's bad, it can become good. That's my dream. That's what makes my heart burn. That's what I want. And that's what I find has been sort of a consistent theme for me. Just wherever I plant myself, that's what I'm going to be working for, whether I'm aware of it or not. I know people whose passion, I think, is food. Whenever somebody's hurting, they're going to fix a meal. And they come through that meal, and something happens. Something magical happens through that meal that they give to you. I know some people who decided they want their home to be a place where the kids in that neighborhood can always come and find a cookie and know that they're loved. These things that make your heart burn don't have to be big ideas that change the world. I'm grateful for the big ideas that change the world. I think the men's group last week had Ben Campbell coming and speaking to us, and he is completely on fire with a big idea of racial reconciliation. And you don't have to be with him 10 minutes to feel it, feel the heat of it, and it's contagious and it's powerful. My ideas are not that big. But I think somehow together, each of our little ideas, each of our little passions, that little flame that burns inside us can ignite into something that is big. When they find a safe place to burn and to flourish and to come into reality. The truth is that whatever this idea is that sort of takes hold of you and ignites inside of you, when you begin to sort of move on it, in whatever faltering ways you may find that you do, the reality is always going to be a letdown. It's not going to finish. It's not going to accomplish everything that you want it to. It's not going to change the world in the way that you wish it would or that you set out to do. But here's one of the mysteries, I think, that Jesus' life teaches us. Think about Jesus, God incarnate. When he ended his life, there were a handful of people that followed him. Nobody really stood with him at his trial. He had not changed society. He had not changed the laws of the land. He had not emancipated slaves. He had not changed many people's minds about anything. But he had changed a few people's minds and left a very powerful impression in those people. It didn't pan out the way the Messiah was supposed to live. And then he died. But he also rose again. And the next time we see Jesus, it's going to be in glory with his glorious kingdom. I think there's something about the kingdom, the glory, that is born in the life down here that doesn't live up to the vision. It's full of struggle. It's full of disappointment. It doesn't accomplish much, but we're trying. And we're living to whatever limited means we have of living out that vision and following God as he leads us. And I think when we do that, we hand a life to God that he's going to resurrect into something glorious and build a kingdom that would knock our socks off, out of our failures, out of our measly, pathetic little efforts, out of our sort of modest contributions to this world. It goes through. And in Jesus' hands, in the resurrection, it becomes glorious and magnificent. Amen.